Bucket up, guys. Bucket up. All right, come. Take a seat. Yeah. Take a seat. All right, come. Okay. Good morning. Welcome, Oren. Oren Skidelsky from Chicago. Welcome. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about sensitivity in Derech Eretz. A very interesting Rashi. Rashi quotes one of the many influences on his Perush Al HaTorah. He quotes from Rabbeinu Moshe HaDarshan, one of the 11th century, maybe 10th, 11th century Darshanim to the Torah. And Rabbeinu Moshe HaDarshan noticed that there were only 11 Arurs. At that very, very fateful moment at Har Rizim and Har Eval, there were 11 Arurs when the natural number should be, well, you'd think 10, because it should be corresponding to the Aseret HaDibros. But this is Har Sinai with a different twist. This is Har Sinai in Eretz Yisrael. At the first Har Sinai, humans are completely passive. Hashem delivers information. At the second Har Sinai in Eretz Yisrael, human beings are more active. They're actively citing these Aseret HaDibros. And since human beings are more active at the Eretz Yisrael Har Sinai, so there aren't meant to be 10 Dibros, there are meant to be 12 Arurs. But 11 is a very odd number. It should either be 10, like it was in Har Sinai, or 12, one for each Shevet. Yet there are 11. So what happened to the missing error? What happened to the missing curse or condemning of irregular behavior? So Rabbeinu Moshe HaDarshan said, Moshe Rabbeinu deleted one extra commandment of Har Gizim and Har Eval out of sensitivity to the Shevet of Shimon. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had planned not to deliver a bracha to Shimon. And if you look in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, because of Moshe's disappointment with Shimon, the long-standing disappointment with Shimon's complicity in Mechiras Yosef, his complicity in the rape of Dina incident, Levi was with him, but their paths deviated. Levi, of course, become the heroes of the Midbar, and Shimon becomes the villain because of his role in the Pinchas episode, which really was very difficult. This was after 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he could finally have a pure generation and lead them into Eretz Yisrael. He reminded Moshe that human beings will always be weak, even if it's a new generation. So Moshe Rabbeinu offers a bracha to each Shevet aside from Shimon. So he doesn't want to, on the one hand, not give a bracha to Shimon in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, and also give an aror that corresponds to Shimon. So this is a silent shout out to Shimon. You may not have a bracha in Vezos HaBracha, but your klala will be deleted. There will only be 11 klalos rather than 12 klalos, and Shimon will get the message, oh, I may not get a bracha, but Moshe had some sensitivity to me and my tribe, and he didn't offer a klala corresponding to my shevet. Very interesting Rashi. 11, because Moshe didn't want there to be 12, a little bit sensitivity to Shimon, who already would feel in some ways discriminated against. So there are two very interesting aspects about this Rashi. Number one, human sensitivity, and sensitivity to other people, which we call Derech Eretz, which trumps or takes precedence even to ideology and theology. This is Har Sinai, or this is the Har Sinai upon entering Eretz Yisrael. There should be 12 Arurs. These are 12 commandments that will exist in eternity. Imagine the Aseret HaDibros. They had the stones with these Arurs, at least not written on them, but associated with them. So for the Jews in Israel who lived in Israel, they had a very clear and sharp sense. Whenever they passed Har Gizim and Har Eval, they remember these, so to speak, 12 commandments. So you'd think that maybe a little sensitivity to Shimon, you know, can be ignored for the sake of such a large and important ideological moment. The answer is, Derech Eretz always comes before ideology, theology. However important your platform is, sensitivity to other people, even to individuals, takes precedence. I'm always reminded of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was dispatched by Hashem to come from Midian to go back and redeem the Jewish people. And the Jewish people have been suffering for 210 years. They're being enslaved. They're being imprisoned. And Moshe tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I first have to ask my father-in-law for permission to go back to Yisro. It's astounding. There are Jews dying day by day, and you're asking your father-in-law, get on the first plane and get back to Egypt. Moshe says this entire enterprise of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which will set history, can't take place at the cost of Derech Eretz, at the cost of seeking my father-in-law's. I lived with him. He cared for me. I married his daughter. I first have to go back, ask permission. Similar situation here. You'd think this is Har Gizim and Har Eval. Shimon will get past it. It's not even a curse that's directed to Shimon. These Arurs didn't have specific targets. It's just a number. So Shimon, what difference will it make to the people of Shimon whether they're 12 or 11? Moshe realizes he can't give them a bracha for whatever reason, but he doesn't want them to feel that they also have a klala corresponding. He wants to give them a little bit of an ease in the fall that they'll inevitably take when Moshe Rabbeinu passes. This is an important Rashi, about Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah, Derech Eretz Kadma to any. Sometimes people get very, very intoxicated with grand ideological and theological visionary platforms, and they trample in other people's hearts and other people's needs. You have to be careful when you're shooting for great things, not to do it at the expense of other people and their hearts and their emotions. And Moshe is very sensitive to Shimon. And keep in mind also, sometimes in life, we're binary. We tend to vilify and demonize people. And once they commit some act, all of a sudden they fall all the way from being righteous to being criminal. There is a space where you don't get a bracha, but you don't get a klala. And that's the space of Shimon. It's not as if it's all or nothing. Well, one Shimon doesn't get a bracha, and they deserve a klala. Moshe Rabbeinu is carving out a space for Shimon. They may not be deserving of a bracha, but I don't want them to feel as if they're cursed. I want them to feel as if they don't have a klala, even though they have to have some real soul-searching, which they'll engage in after I die, when they realize they didn't receive a bracha. But they shouldn't feel cursed. They should feel as if, sometimes when we judge people, and sometimes we have to be careful when we judge people, and Erev Rosh Hashanah, because Hashem is judging us, we're very polar and binary in our judgments. And we find a flaw in someone, then all of a sudden we amplify and we caricature that person and we heap on all sorts of associated judgments about that person. And very often, you have to be much more meticulous and balanced in the way you see people. So Shimon isn't a candidate for a bracha, but it doesn't mean they should receive a klal. It's an interesting, interesting sensitivity, derech eretz, and realizing there's that middle space. Okay. In the end of the tochacha, this is a very, very eerie and horrific tochacha. It's much more existentially suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu articulates it in human terms. He describes the psychological breakdown. You'll be walking at night. You'll be feeling your way through. Basically, he's describing human beings who push the panic button, who are suffering so much. They don't know whether they're coming or going. They're crazy. They're all sorts of blindness and lost and confused. So it teaches us a lot about how what happens when we panic and how to avoid panic. Because we're seeing a caricature or a portrait of human beings in a state of panic. How do you avoid panic? You're dealing with a lot of stress in life. Sometimes you wake up and you're having a very hard day. You're going through a very hard period. How do you make sure you maintain your equilibrium and you don't fall into the state that Moshe Rabbeinu describes in the Tochacha? So it's an interesting phrase. Baboker tomar miyitein erev. You'll be suffering so much, and in the morning you'll say, I wish the night would come already. Uverev tomar miyitein boker. And at night you'll be suffering so much, you'll say, I wish the morning will come already. Mipacha levavchar shetivchad v'marinacha shetira. So the simple reading of the Pasuk is, you can't wait for it to end. It's night, you're suffering, literally, figuratively. Say, the next period will come, the next stage in my life, and it'll become a little easier. During the day, you'll wait for the next period, which is the night. That's a natural human response. Sometimes you just have to convince yourself things will get better. Hard times come, hard times go, good times will replace hard times. And there's a natural balance between looking towards the future to ease your current suffering, as opposed to escapism, where you don't address your current suffering, you just think about 5 years from now, and that's escapism, and that's withdrawing from real issues that you have to confront. But that's a natural state, and if that would be the literal reading of the Pasuk, or the only reading of the Pasuk, it'd be a nice prescription to how to balance yourself between current and future. Rashi is a very interesting phrase. But Boker Tomar Miyitein Erev, in the morning you'll say, I wish it were night, not the night after the morning. You'll say, I wish it was yesterday. But Boker Tomar Miyitein Erev, quotes the Gemara in Sota, via Erev Shel Emesh, I wish it was the night before. Let's say you're suffering today, say, oh, I wish it was Thursday night. That's real escapism. Thursday night is past. You can't go back to Thursday night. Thursday night isn't going to help you. Tomorrow night will help you because you can expect a different experience, a different set of terms. You may be able to experience it. But looking back at the past isn't going to help you. And it's also very deceiving. We call deceiving recasting of our past. It's called nostalgia. We look at our past and we say, oh, we're so much better in the past, and I wish I could go back to the past, and we had such an easy time, and you guys are a spoiled generation, and when we grew up, there was no problem, we were all perfect, we had a perfect world. Nostalgia plays tricks with your mind. It gives you a sense that you want to go back to the past because you're struggling in the current, and you dust off your past experiences, or your past generations, and you buff it a little bit, you make it shine, and it really isn't as shiny and buffed as you think it is. And on the one end, you want to live in your past. You want to take all the value. Some people have a hard time to establish experiential continuity. They're very cut off from their past. It's very important to be in touch with who you were as you grow up, as you become older, to draw from all the people, the values, the experiences, to live continuum, to live integrated, panoramic. You're not just living in your moment. Where do you come from? What are the people in your life? It's called experience, wisdom, continuity. But sometimes nostalgia plays tricks with our mind when we're suffering. So I wish it were 2 weeks ago. I wish I lived in the 1800s. There was a simpler life. Think about that the next time you go wake up at night and go to your bathroom. You wish you lived in the 1800s. You'd be traveling to an outhouse in the freezing cold winter. It's just obviously a very humorous example. But it's interesting that Rashi highlights that sometimes when people panic, they take refuge in their past and assume the past was so much better. A, it wasn't in many cases. It's deceiving. Two, it doesn't make a difference. You can't reclaim the past. You can change the future. You can wait for the future to change, but you can't go back to your past. So that very hard for that to really be a helpful way to change. So finally, just one final statement. Rashi says, the Pasuk says, that I will give you a lev ragaz. Where's the Pasuk? I will give you a heart that's ragaz. Okay, it's Pasuk Samachai. Hashem says, you won't have any rest. Kilyon enayim means your eyes are waiting for something that never happens. So they end up like your eyes are destroyed, waiting for something that's elusive. Davon nefesh is your soul is always suffering and anguish. What does lev ragaz mean? So what do we typically interpret ragaz to mean? Brogas. Brogas rachim tizkor. What's that, Malachi? Chavakuk. Brogas rachim tizkor. What is ragaz? Brogas, anger. Fury. But Rashi says, no, lev ragaz is not an angry heart. Why would you have an angry heart? Rashi says it's a quivering heart. Lev chared. It's an unsteady heart. And he quotes several psukim. I'm not going to quote them now in Tanakh. And actually, if you look in Tanakh, probably about 60% of the psukim that quote Reish Gimel Zayin, it's unsteady. It's uneven. It's not solid. It's shaking. Chared means to shake and quiver. And so what is ragaz? Is ragaz anger? Or is ragaz unsteadiness and quivering? The answer is both. When you get angry, your whole system, your whole judgment, your whole balance is destabilized. You have a quivering identity, you have a quivering persona. We're trying to work on our mitos this month. One of the great, great dangers of being angry so often is that you lose your cool, you lose your balance, you lose your equilibrium, you lose your judgment, it's a momentary insanity. So here in Parshas Kisavo, it means you'll have a quivering heart, you have an unsteady. Remember, the Pasuk says you won't have any rest. Targiya is the opposite of ragaz. You won't have any margoa. You won't have manoach. And instead of roga and manoach, you'll have lev ragaz. You'll have a fearful, unsteady, quivering. You won't know whether you're coming or going. You won't have any confidence. You won't be able to predict the future. But very often, rogaz means anger. Anger and unsteadiness are linked. One of the reasons, obviously, you don't want to be angry for many reasons. One of the reasons to try to control your anger and maintain your anger is because when you're angry, you act very foolishly. You do things that ultimately humiliate yourself because you don't have your judgment, your wisdom, your sanity, your balance. So at your age, it's hard sometimes not to get angry. At older ages, you can maintain your anger. But if you get angry, try not to act when you're angry, because just understand you're in a state of real unsteadiness and your body's being taken over almost by a quivering by lev ragaz, and your actions are apt to be much less effective and much less reflective of whom you are when you're angry. So three different Rashis. One about sensitivity to Shimon. Very cute Rashi, very sweet Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking about Shimon. The day's dying. He's thinking about Shimon and telling Am Yisrael how to structure Hagrizman or Evo, and he deletes one aror so that Shimon won't take it too hard, even though they won't receive a bracha. Number two, you'll be so much in pain, you'll be such anguish. In the morning, you'll say, I wish it was last night. It's an interesting study in human psychology. Number three, lev ragaz, which we simply interpret to mean an angry heart, doesn't fit in the tochacha. Lev ragaz in the tocha means a fearful heart, an unsteady heart, a scared heart, a frightened heart that's always quivering and unsure. I think about the connection between the two meanings of rogaz, of anger. Have a Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Slichos World. Welcome to Slichos World. Next week, Slichos World begins.
We need one more, by the way.